go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! This a special storm edition of the Horn this Monday, the 29th day of October 2012. I've been feeling real creepy about this thing. You know, we're supposed to just get the snot smacked out of us here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicod, Virginia, with snow. All day long, like many of you, I've been glued to a TV screen or internet screen, whatever, watching what I could see of the so-called Frankenstorm, Sandy, coming ashore and the damage it was doing in various locales. I feel sorry for Ari Velshi of CNN. Got that dude standing out in the middle of the street in Atlantic City, New Jersey right now. A few minutes ago he said something like, I'm 185 pounds. I'm like, and you're a liar too. Yeah, I'm 180. No. But he said the gusts were just about knocking him over. And he was taking a mighty wide stance. Footage from Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, showing some pretty intense waves washing up there. Everybody, please stay safe. It's Moran Monday on the Horn, of course. And we will indeed have some Morans. But the fact of the matter is, I want to make sure that we are at least available here and open to the idea of anyone who wants to share their experiences within the storm zone to do so. The direct dial number, of course, is 304-658-3333. You can also reach the program via Skype, and the Skype handle is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. And we're all signed in there as well. Now, I'm feeling a little funny tonight. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny, oh, I don't know, in a kind of snake-bit way. Because I wasn't thinking about it until a couple of hours ago, and then it dawned on me, wait a minute, this is October 29th. So what we are here, at least in the hills and hollers of West Bicod, Virginia, is 4 months to the day from the evening. It was a Friday. And we had just gotten home, and I had jumped in behind the chair, into the chair behind the microphone to do a show. And got about an hour into it, and the power got knocked out. And that was when the derecho hit. Remember, they gave us a new word to call it, so that... Oh, will somebody please get Ollie Velshi in? He's going to get plumb blowed away. This is just getting silly. No, about an hour in, got the power knocked out, and power didn't come back on for another 12 days. And a big old roaring storm came up over the hill and just knocked the crap out of the house. And so, yeah, it's superstitious. Well, that's uninspiring. We've got sirens outside going down the road. Oh, brother, here we go. Yeah, because the what has been rain all day has turned to first freezing rain and sleet and is now into full-on snow, and the snow is beginning to pile. Well, it's not piling, but it's certainly sticking. And with any luck at all, we will have electricity at least through the end of the program here. We've all been warned in advance, just look for the power to go out. And the reason for that, and it's a deeper question. Hi, by the way, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. The reason that we have been warned is because after the derecho, which is a Spanish word meaning right, we were warned to expect the power to go out because it was basically patched together in sort of low-rent MacGyver-like fashion with baling wire and twine after the storm 4 months ago to the day this evening. Not all the leaves are off the trees. The ground is saturated. The winds are going to get high, and not that way. And so we're going to be probably in trouble. What have we done to prepare for it here? Well, we've loaded in a whole bunch of water. We've got the Coleman camp stove tested out and ready to go. We've got a lot of bottles of 1 pound bottles of propane for the little space heaters and the camp stove. We've checked out the generator. It starts, it runs. We have 10 gallons of fuel for the generator because that's as much gas cans as we've got. We've got batteries. We've got candles. We've got lots of rice and beans. I usually don't opt for the buy all the milk and bread and eggs in the grocery store thing because I mean, French toast is fine once in a while, but really, what else can you do with milk and bread and eggs? So I guess we're as ready as we're going to get. It would be nice if we had it would be nice to have a roof that would hold out the winter, but we were actually working on that when this storm came along. So if the winds get high enough to take a few more shingles, well, that's just more to fix. The Horn can be heard, of course, at onradionetwork.com. Easiest by simply going to that website and clicking Listen Live. If you're on a mobile device, however, I should note, wow, more sirens. Oh, Jesus. I should note that if you're on a mobile device, like a smartphone or something, you can also get us with Stitcher or TuneIn Radio, Tuner Internet Radio app, or DAR.FM is really handy for recording the program for later listening. And I'll try to get a live listening link up there as well as soon as I can remember to do that. So that's where we are as we start the program. I hope if you are somewhere that the storm is hitting, that you've taken all the precautions that you possibly can to be safe. And if you do want to participate and let folks know what it's like where you are, again, I encourage you to do so. Because as far as I can tell, between the Weather Channel and CNN and some of the other for-profit media, mostly we're getting pictures of people in slickers standing in the middle of streets. You might actually know a little bit more about what's happening on the ground in your locale than these folks do. like I said, though, it is Moran Monday. And I would like to just offer up a quick Moran nomination for Chris Christie. Now, all day we've seen various governors from various states. We saw Lincoln Chafee from from Rhode Island interviewed. Very calm, very statesmanlike. I saw the governor of Connecticut interviewed, again the same. The governor of Maryland, again the same. But a little bit ago, they cut away to a press conference being had by Chris Christie, at which point he waddled up to the microphone and said, "You know what? If you're in Atlantic City and you're still there, F you. I told you bums to get out of there, and then the mayor gave you some sort of comfort." I didn't even understand what that statement meant. The mayor said something about you could shelter in place and you didn't leave, so if you didn't leave, we're not going to come get you, we're not going to try, I'm not going to put anybody in harm's way. We're going to let you, yeah, you just hunker down and ride it out, you bastards. Okay, so I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that was the gist of it. I told you to get out, you didn't get out, F you. Man, that's leadership, isn't it? Does it ever occur to any of these privileged right-wing punks that there are people in this country who have mobility issues? That it might be just a little bit damn difficult to leave? That they might, yeah, what, you want some help? Yeah, what do you think this is, a socialist paradise, huh? Help. I told you to, yeah, hit the bricks, granny. Classy guy, Chris Christie. So that's... It didn't make any sense. It was like somebody called him to the podium after he'd already had two or three. By the way, a moment of class on the part of the President of the United States. He gave a little bit of an update around, 12:45, 12:50 Eastern Daylight Time this afternoon. And basically promised that the federal government will do everything in its power to see people through the storm and help them after it. And then at the end, he says, you know, thank you and goodbye. And so some member of the for-profit media, some genius, says, "Will this have an impact on the election, Mr. President?" Or no. "Are you concerned about the impact this will have on the election, Mr. President?" And he stepped back to the microphone for a minute. And he said, "I'm not concerned with the impact this will have on the election. I'm concerned with the impact this storm will have on families and on our first responders. The election will take care of itself." And my first thought was, good answer. Right answer. On the other hand, you've probably seen it at some point earlier today. That Bishop Willard Romney not only doesn't like FEMA, doesn't like disaster, recovery assistance. Sarah Jones, writing over at Politics USA, Tim from LA sent this along. Bishop Willard doesn't just not like FEMA, thinks that we should just let the states handle it on a case-by-case, state-by-state basis. You know, why should the federal government care about American citizens after all? Right? And frankly, you just saw that step, or, well, I mean, if you did, we know what that means, that state-by-state basis, coming out of the mouths of the governor of New Jersey. I told you people to leave. You didn't leave. So now, you know, you got to, somehow or another, you got to get through the rest of the night. And we'll come around in the morning, maybe, and see if he's still alive. Whew. So here is from about a year and 4 months ago. Here's Bishop Willard Romney's position on disaster relief.
Governor Romney, you've been a chief executive of state. I was just in Joplin, Missouri. I've been in Mississippi and Louisiana and Tennessee and other communities dealing with whether it's the tornadoes, the flooding, and worse. FEMA's about to run out of money, and there are some people who say do it on a case-by-case basis, and some people who say, you know, maybe we're learning a lesson here that the state should take on more of this role. How do you deal with something like that?
Absolutely. Every time you have an occasion to take something from the federal government and send it back to the states, that's the right direction. And if you can go even further and send it back to the private sector, that's even better.
Wait, what? Bishop Willard Romney wants FEMA to be farmed out to the private sector so it can so disaster recovery can be run for what? For profit? To the private sector? Really? That was not my words, those are his.
To take something from the federal government and send it back to the states, that's the right direction. And if you can go even further and send it back to the private sector, that's even better. Instead of thinking in the federal budget, what we should cut, we should ask ourselves the opposite question. What should we keep? We should take all of what we're doing at the federal level and say, what are the things we're doing that we don't have to do? And those things we've got to stop doing because we're borrowing $1.6 trillion more this year than we're taking in. We cannot afford to do those things without jeopardizing the future for our kids. It is simply immoral, in my view, for us to continue to rack up larger and larger debts and pass them on to our kids, knowing full well that we'll all be dead and gone before it's paid off.
You got that? Disaster relief isn't just a bad idea. It's not just unconservative. Why, by God, it's immoral. Jesus. Meanwhile, the White House is just trying to get people, they're saying, pay attention to your disaster, your local disaster preparedness organizations. Be ready. Don't do stupid things. And we, the people, will dig ourselves out of this mess. Because this is one of those moments, isn't it, where we see the essential difference between the two views of government. The right wing and the Bishop Willard Romneys and that filthy crowd see government as an enemy to be defeated, deconstructed, dismantled. Whereas we tend to recognize that there was an essential urge toward self-governance that motivated the beginning, that motivated this government into being. Right? And maybe that's why the right wing despises government so much. Maybe they understand that it's self-government. Maybe the right wing understands that it is a matter of we the people. And maybe, like Bishop Willard said, he despises we the people. Email coming in from Virginia and Stephen. We're snake bit in Vermont. Just a little over a year since Irene and the resulting devastating floods. It's mostly wind with gusts over 50 to 60 until midnight or so, and we expect 3 to 6 inches of rain. We live on the southern downslope of a 1,000-foot hill, and it protects us directly pretty well, but it sounds like a freight train up above. Power and internet working well so far, but power outages everywhere around us, mostly on the west side sloping Green Mountains where the valleys channel the wind up to 80 or 90. Scary. Again, be safe and keep us posted. It should also be noted, since Vermont was brought up in the conversation, that there are those out there who say that Vermont has, what, brought this on itself. No, really, not kidding. Wish I was. Oh, this was just icky. Gotta find it real quick. One of those typical fundamentalist, wouldn't know Jesus if Jesus came up and shook her hands types, said, Vermont needs to look and see if maybe they brought this on themselves, because after all, the courts in Vermont made a woman flee with her child to Central America so she could raise her child in a Bible-believing family instead of having to let some homosexual have contact with the child. Yeah, it's already started. It's disgusting. But of course, they're disgusting. Randy noting the Eye of Sandy is projected to pass near here in Kennett Square, PA. It's 35 miles southwest of Philly. The rain's not been as heavy as your typical thunderstorm, but it's been constant. The wind is not that high yet. Randy says, I hear that the state of Delaware, not far from here, is not faring so well with heavier rains and resultant travel restrictions. Randy notes the power is occasionally flickering. Marty noting, in contrast to I'm from the government and I'm here to help, we can go to I'm from the private sector and I'm here to help, but before we begin, here's our estimate and we'll need 10% to start work. Precisely. Philip writing in says, it's cold, it's wet, and miserable here in Maryland, 10 miles from the bay. But your comments regarding Chris Christie warmed up my less than fertile mind and made me realize why he never ran for president. Frankly, Bob, when you're that size, you don't run for anything and no one waddles for president. Nice to know that the power may be going out in Maryland, but the sense of humor is still running strong. If Romney is elected, Philip says, will President Obama declare the entire country a disaster area? Shrub tried contracting out, and it was and is a dismal, expensive failure that benefited his contributors at the expense of the public. All true. Philip also notes, we need to stop saying that the right hates big government. They love big government that funds defense, oil subsidies, and the like. What they hate is government that funds social programs, and we need to hammer that point home while noting they are more than willing to run up huge deficits to expand the programs, tax breaks, and subsidies that they and their supporters want. You know, because a 1%er really doesn't see any value in something as frivolous as keeping Granny from drowning. Just got into the chat room. The computer's been a little recalcitrant here, but it's nice to see a good little crowd starting to gather in the chat room. Lottie's been battening down the boat. Speaking of boats, it was sad to me to see that the replica ship of the Bounty, which has been featured in no small number of films, or maybe it was a small number, but it's been featured in films. It was the Black Pearl in one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. It was also the Bounty itself. In either one or both of the Mutiny on the Bounty films, there was the one with Charles Laughton years ago that was masterful, and then there was the one with Mel Gibson a couple of decades back where he suffered prodigiously. Mel always suffers in his movies. Waggy with an updated preamble to the Constitution in the chat room. This is what makes the chat room fun. It's easy and free. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. We, the wealth of the United States, in order to form a more perfect cash flow, establish dominion, ensure domestics serve tranquilly, procure defenseless commoners, promote our general welfare, and secure the blessing of liquidity to ourselves and our posterity. Yeah. Do hereby establish and ordain this Constitution of the corporate states of America. Sadly true. So, we've got more ants this evening. I mean, what else do you call it, really? Oddly enough, I haven't seen, this is the fault of the for-profit media. On a day like this, you really do want to track down Senator Inhofe and say, tell us about the hoax some more, Senator. Yeah. No, but anyway, the Bounty, Nancy let me know via Facebook earlier today that the Bounty tried to get out to sea, why, and was sunk by 18-foot waves and 40-mile-an-hour winds. 14 rescued and 2 people. I think are still missing. Ferg and I went aboard that ship when we were in Puerto Rico almost 2 years ago. We have photos of him standing at the helm. He was sad to hear the news. Marty noting, Mel might have suffered, but Anthony Hopkins, along with Daniel Day-Lewis, Bernard Hughes, Liam Neeson et al., shown in the Bounty. Ray says, Mel's just a little too fond of suffering. Well, he's a weirdo. What do you want? Footage rolling through now of sparking, snapping power lines in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Ray is out of harm's way, and his sense of humor is working well too. Whale lard and a ship full of men. Yo ho ho. Randy noting, the problem with the neocon social contract is that everyone has to be a millionaire in order to consider themselves to be secure without a safety net, and that just won't happen. Remember, the city councilman may have himself a limousine, but the CEO has himself a $40 million private jet. Well, that jet didn't get out of town. It ain't going anywhere anytime soon. Darlene noting, I think the Bounty went out to sea to avoid being battered at the shore against the dock and so forth, and I guess that didn't work. I'd say not. Bill McKibben with in an article over at Salon today. Bill McKibben does the Sandy math. Bill McKibben asked via Twitter recently, in the last day or so, the candidates refuse to talk about climate change during the debates, and the mainstream media hardly dares mention global warming in the context of this storm. What's going on here? I don't think I've heard climate change or global warming or anything even so much as once since I've been watching coverage. You know, these storms just happen. The author of the Salon piece, Andrew Leonard, says what's going on here is the astonishing power of the fossil fuel industry. They have essentially bought one party and scared the other, and they've done the same thing all over the world. Yeah, it was not lost on me to note the irony of CNN's continuing coverage, Sandy, the approach to oblivion, you know, whatever, with the and their stock footage of their B-roll intro, whatever, that's got palm trees blowing, yeah, palm trees in Connecticut. But it was not lost on me that in between CNN coverage of the continuing Sandy's Frankenstorm, but they won't call it a Frankenstorm. CNN declared they would not call it a Frankenstorm. They did that because they said that they wanted to be serious about it. But the whole thing about a Frankenstorm is that it brings up issues related to climate change now, doesn't it? Because this isn't just some damned hurricane. This is the biggest. This is the biggest Atlantic Coast hurricane on record ever. With several different elements playing into the whole mix. Elements that could very well be made worse by the fact that we're heating up the planet. So in between breathless coverage on chicken noodle news, what do we get? Why, we get ads for clean coal. Let's burn some more and see if we can't head up the planet a little. Yeah, this thing's only got 100 mile an hour winds. Hardly a real hurricane now, is it? Real enough. Now, Mr. Leonard writes, they've done the same thing all over the world, the fossil fuel industry. They're the richest, most powerful industry on Earth, and they're able to keep people from questioning what's become the most dangerous set of corporate practices in history. These are guys who, faced with the melting Arctic, decide to go and drill in it for yet more oil. Faced with the warmest year in American history, 2012, they proudly announce how much more they're spending to explore for more hydrocarbons. And that's because they're making absolutely record profits. And until we can rein them in a little bit, the chance of any impact in Washington is, I think, very slim. We've spent 20 years appealing to politicians, but I think it's becoming clear that Congress acts as the customer service arm of the fossil fuel industry, and they've basically had the rest of us on hold for two decades. Those are the words of Bill McKibben answering questions from Mr. Leonard. Do you think something as huge and unprecedented as Hurricane Sandy can change that dynamic? McKibben says, I don't think it can change it overnight. I think if you're asking, will Mitt Romney turn into a different guy? Well, no. He stood up at the Republican National Convention and mocked the idea of slowing the rise of the oceans. That's a piece of mockery that looks a little less hysterical today with the entire East Coast of the United States worrying about the rise of the oceans. These guys have ignored the epic drought, the hottest month in American history, and the melt of the Arctic. At some level, they seem to be kind of weatherproofed. weatherproofed. So, it's kind of a one-story night, isn't it? I mean, we can find other stories. God knows. Like I said, we've got other morons. I mean, did you know that that Kenyan Muslim, the secret one, with the deep-seated hatred of white people and a definite anti-colonialist stance, did you know that he is personally responsible for the failure of an automobile company? Really? He's responsible for the failure of an automobile company that went to pot in 1988. That's pretty strong. I mean, how old was Barack Obama in 1988? Yeah, about 27 years old, and just using his mental Kenyan rays, he took down American Motors. You remember the folks that gave us the Gremlin. You know, when we think of stupid right-wing Congress critters, we tend to think of people like Steve King or 1L Michelle Bachmann. But there's always one more lurking out there in the wings to show, to prove that she's even more stupid. There's a stupid competition going on. To this end, I offer you Tennessee's very own Marsha Blackburn. Now, just imagine that. The same state that gave us David Crockett as a member of Congress has now given America... Well, I dare say that that her IQ is lower than the temperature is outside, and it's getting damn near freezing out here right now. This is Marsha Blackburn being interviewed by Chris Jansing. And I think you're going to find this a struggle.
Let me ask you about some of the things that are going on the campaign trail, and there is a controversy about Mitt Romney telling voters that Jeep is going to move production to China, and according to the company, that's entirely false. Is he lying about that?
Oh, well, I don't know. I haven't talked with the campaign staff about that. I will say this. For workers in the auto industry across the board, whether it is GM, whether it's Nissan, whether it's American Motors, individuals are very concerned about the impact of regulation that the EPA and OSHA and other federal agencies are heaping on our manufacturers.
Huh? What? Did you get that little litany of American car companies? For workers in the auto industry across the board, whether it's GM, whether it's Nissan, whether it's American Motors, who gave us the Gremlin and the Pacer and the Javelin and the Matador? And went finally belly up in 1988? That is one powerful Kenyan Muslim, able to time travel to personally wipe out the car company that Willard Romney's daddy headed. No wonder Willard hates him so much. I don't know what you do with stupid like that. It's certainly unfixable. American Motors. I'm guessing Marsha Blackburn doesn't go toddling around North Central Tennessee in some damn gremlin, does she? that's just too much. American Motors. Michael with an observation about the phrase Frankenstorm that I think is also quite telling. He says, the term also implies that this monster turning on us is man's creation through the tortured manipulation of nature, which, of course, climate change is. So, hush, hush, CNN. Very good. Very good, Michael. Astute, to say the least. Marty asking, so that's what happened to Doc Brown's DeLorean. Obama has it. Did Biff give it to him? All kinds of doors opening there with Marsha Blackburn's Moran comments. Oh, dear Lord, here these things just proliferate, don't they? Thanks to our chat room moderator, Lottie, for this one. You know, or no thanks, depending on how you look at things. Really? Hurricane Sandy has been blamed on gays. Why? Preacher John McTernan? McTernan? I can't wait for this thing to finally load on the tired and ancient old computer. And someday it may. But we'll... This is slow... And if I seem just a little bit disjointed, it's probably because we've done everything we can to prepare here, and once you get the preparations in place, then you just wait for them to hit the fan, and there's not just a hell of a lot else to do. I've had several moments of righteous indignation today, you know, doing show prep, doing my reading. I mean, I think, you know, the mention was made about Mitt Romney. Well, Obama promised us he'd lower the height of the oceans. Keep laughing, Bishop. No, here it is. A story from Huffington Post. The eastern seaboard may have yet to experience the full wrath of Hurricane Sandy, but one right-wing preacher, I'm going to excise the word Christian. Well, no, I shouldn't. He is a Christian. Preacher is already pointing the finger at the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered community. Oh, God. John McTernan, Chaplain John McTernan, says that God is systematically destroying America. Systematically. There was an incredible heat wave and drought that destroyed massive amounts of the crops. The drought has not let up and now covers about 65% of the country. The drought triggered record forest fires in the West. The East was not affected by the drought, but now... Hey, what? No love for the derecho? But now the most powerful hurricane on record is heading directly towards Philadelphia and New York City. It could do catastrophic damage to the entire Northeast. If you add the area, blah, da, 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 da. Hurricane Sandy is hitting 21 years to the day of the perfect storm of October 20th, 1991. Well, no, it's not. This is October the 29th. I don't think he understands what to the day means. I write about this in my book, America, What As America Has Done to Israel. What? Damn, I knew I forgot something. We got the bottled water, we got the propane, we got the gasoline and the 30-weight oil for the generator, and I didn't get any bourbon. Years breaks down to 7 times 3. Well, good for you. Still got them multiplication tables going for you, Pastor. Which is a significant number with God. Did you know that? I thought he liked 7s and 11s myself. Oh, no, apparently God is a blackjack player. 3 is perfection, as the Godhead is 3 and 1, while 7 is perfection. Oh, for heaven's sakes. And the you know, you come for the crazy, but you stay for the comments. On January 20th this year at 12 noon, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say there's going to be a great shaking before the elections. The Lord said that at least twice, and then I had a vision as He was repeating it. I got a feeling we are sadly lacking in Thorazine darts in this country. Oh, Lord. American Motors asks Sandra, didn't they bring us the Betsy with Tommy Lee Jones and Laurence Olivier? God. Yeah, Sandy, Ray confirming, Sandy's already been blamed on the gays. Well, I mean, look, if we can, if these freaks can blame it on a couple of guys trying to pick out a China pattern, or, I mean, you know, monogram towels and those funny little soaps that you're not allowed to use, then why can't we say, oh, I don't know, blame it on the fact that human beings have been cooking the planet? Ray asking, why does God need blackjack? That's a quote from Spock, I think. Yes. So that's kind of where we're headed. Light up the phones if you want to get in the conversation, or the Skype. Either way works fine. Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn. The phone number is 304-658-3333. Either way works. That's enough filibobstering for now. We'll take a little break and come back. I've been thinking about this song all day long. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn.
Shirts open like Latin lovers on the shore, chasing all them silly New York virgins by the score. Thank you. streets or get busted for sleeping on the beach all night. Them boys in their high heels are sandy. Their skins are so white. And me, I just got tired of hanging in them dusty arcades, banging them pleasure machines, chasing the factory girls underneath the boardwalk, where they all promised to unsnap her jeans. You know that tilt-a-whirl down on the South Beach drag? I got on it last night and my shirt got caught, and they kept me spinning. Didn't think I'd ever get off. Waitress I was seeing lost her desire for me. I spoke with her last night. She said she won't set herself on fire for me anymore. She worked that joint under the boardwalk. She was always the girl you saw bopping down the beach with the radio. The kids say last night she was dressed like a star in one of them cheap little seaside bars. And I saw her part with Lover Boy out on the Kokomo. She heard the cops finally busted Madame Marie for telling fortunes better than they do. For me, this boardwalk life's through, babe. You ought to quit this scene, too.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
About 5 minutes before the hour, I should also let you know that we have had a state of emergency declared here in West Virginia. It didn't take quite as long as it did 4 months ago tonight. I had an email from our buddy Jim earlier today telling me that, and these were Jim's words, Governor LePetitmaine has declared a state of emergency. Work, 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 work. I didn't get a harumph from that guy. No, apparently the coal industry went ahead and gave Governor Earl Ray the go-ahead to declare a state of emergency. And as far as I can tell, there aren't any golf tournaments or anything going on at the Greenbrier, so we might actually have some first responders available for the rest of the state this time through. Well, now we know that journalism has gone into full-on silly mode, or so-called journalism, because now there's a package piece put together. If I were to turn the sound on, I would probably find it was voice-overed by Jeannie Mose of CNN, reporters braving the storm. The for-profit media are now the story. Brother. Let's see. Let's quit shilly-shallying about and go to the phones. What do you say? The number, of course, you know, 304-658-3333. And on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. A gentle reminder that we try to raise $150 every evening, that per the new math of our buddy Tom in California. He said that's really what we need to be looking at. $150 a night, so that's just 15 people at $10, 30 people at $5. We can do that. And to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Greetings from sunny Southern California.
Oh, rub it in, Tracy.
Do you ever feel like Penelope pit stopped and, you know, being tied to the train by Dick Dastardly twirling his mustache at times? I think
Snidely Whiplash, perhaps?
Snidely Whiplash. Oh! God, I just, you know, when I listened to what you said about Fatty McFat, Fat,
oh,
you know, Chris Christie, you know, it just takes me back to when the first debate, when they were talking about, you know, how Romney was saying that the state should be left to do what they, because they know how to do things.
Right.
And that they would do the right things for their constituents. And I just think, Jesus Christ, if it was left up to the states, I'd still be a slave.
Well, there's that, too. Yes. The states' rights, right? Thank heaven, Tracy, that, you know, that you see all the way down to that. Because every time somebody wants to turn power back to the states, that's what they're talking about.
That's what they're talking about. I'd be a slave. I couldn't vote. I'd be in jail because my son's father's white. Can we go on? I'm like, yeah, if it was up to the states, but I do live in California. When California was a United Union, it was a non-slave state, right? So at least as long as I live in California, that'd probably be okay. But I sure as hell couldn't go visit any relatives in the South.
Oh, no.
Without papers. And even with my papers, you know, them's a forgery. You a Negro, you know you can't read.
Oh, Jesus.
And then there would be a poll tax, so if I did want to go vote, you know.
Right.
What?
No, you're right. That's at the core of all of these states' rights arguments, every last one of them.
Every single last one of them. I don't want it left up to the state as to whether.
Well, see, we've been having fascinating conversations with Dr. Bill's Prism chats. We had another one on Sunday, and he was talking about made mention of the fact of, you know, the federal government pretty much abandoned any notion of Reconstruction pretty quick in the post Civil War South, and so that's how pernicious ideas like states' rights survive to this day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much for, you know, it just tickles. It just, actually, it, it, it's one of those things, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Because I just, I cannot imagine, you know, living in a state like New Jersey where the governor says, well, you didn't get your ass up out of there, so you just got to, you've got to do what you've got to do, which is, you know, float away for all.
Well, but what I didn't have time to look up who the mayor of Atlantic City, New Jersey is. But he, uh-huh. but Chris Christie was laying it off on the mayor of Atlantic City, New Jersey. Yeah, I told you to get out of there, but the mayor gave you comfort, so now you can just stay, you bastards.
The mayor gave you comfort? Is that what he said?
Yeah, I mean it's out there. You
comfort.
Can get. It's I don't know what it. I don't know what it even meant. But he was being real hateful. He was being. You know, once again, the right wing says, oh, the Obama administration trying to politicize the storm. Well, right there's Chris Krispy Kreme politicizing the storm.
Right. Our president said the election will take care of itself. I'm concerned about the citizens of this country who are being affected by the storm. And I'm going to do whatever I can, whatever the power of the federal government can do to make sure these people are okay. And then you got Mitten saying there should be no FEMA or left up.
Well, yeah. Well, and what we're really supposed to do is be out there praying.
Right.
You know what? Sometimes, you know, if pray, okay. But sometimes it's better to be filling sandbags.
Well, you know, like I say, you know, I have issues with depression and whatnot and so forth. I still pray, but honey, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for my Cymbalta. So you got to have a balance here.
Yeah, faith with well, you know the book itself says faith without works is dead. So
right.
You know, a little less praying and a little more doing.
You know, praying while you're filling those sandbags, praying while you're taking your medication. Even though people, you know, of my faith say that, you know, oh, you don't, you know, obviously you're not a good enough, strong enough Christian. But if you were, the power of prayer to handle it all. And like I said, I do not ever doubt the power of prayer, but I like I said, the chemical, you know, the chemical intervention every so often. You know what I'm saying? I just, oh, wow. Oh, it just, I try not to let my head explode because, you know, I had brain surgery, so I had to take very good care of what.
Right, you want to keep the pressure down.
You know, you want to keep the pressure down. But then I turn on the news, and I listen to, you know, while you hear Chris Christie, I have you to thank for that. Thank you. But I try very hard not to listen to a lot of stuff because, like, during the debate, I am screaming at the television, screaming, you fucking liar, 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 pants on fire. And my girl's like, honey, calm down. I see that little vessel in your temple about to explode. Please calm down, because it's kind of hard to calm down. Because what I don't understand are the people who are going to vote for him, knowing that he's a liar, just because our president's black. You know, it just boggles my mind. Have you ever heard? I found this guy the other day. You know, I'm always on a late freight. It took me how many years to find you guys? We have a commentator on K-Talk out here. His name is Mo Kelly. I guess he writes for Huffington Post. Have you ever heard of him?
No, not offhand.
He's a brother, and he's one of those, you know, he's like, you know, yes, I support my president, but there are things I criticize about him, blah, blah, blah. I deal in facts, right? So he was talking about the Republican Party. And why, as a black man, he would never vote for Republicans. And the way he broke it down, he's like, you know, these Republicans are running all over the country trying to get the black vote, the Hispanic vote, the woman's vote, and stuff like that. And for what I'm reading on the polls, they're doing a good job to a certain extent. But he's like, how can you vote for anybody in this party who does not give, who has no clue or does not give a damn about you? From the way they're talking about our president, he's like, who was John Sununu called the president a retard?
No, that was Ann Coltergeist.
Okay.
No, John Sununu is the one who said, "Well, you know, Colin Powell. He only endorsed him because, well, you know,
because he's
black.
Black. Okay. So I'm sorry to get him mixed up, but what Mo Kelly said is like, why should I give you my vote? Because see, as a Republican, if you're going to talk, if Ann Coulter, who is one of the, you know, the leading, you know, pundits or whatever for the Republican Party, if you're going to call the president of the United States, this man who is a scholar, who, where did he go to law school? Remind me?
Harvard?
Harvard. Was he not the president of the what?
Editor of the Law Review.
Editor of the Law Review. And
only because he was black, Tracy.
Okay. Did he not teach college at some point?
Yes.
So if you are on television calling the president of the United States a retard, and he's like, "What are you saying about me around your dinner table? I'm just the average brother." You know what I'm saying?
That's a damn good point.
You know, I'm just an average brother. So if you're going to call out, like, and he brought up Colin Powell too, or he's just voting for him because, you know, he's endorsing him because he's black. Well, wasn't Colin Powell the chief, you know, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of State? You had a problem with him when he was back in y'all's place. But now that he, you know, he's on his own track and thinking for himself and seeing the way his party is going, because, see, he thinks. He doesn't go across party lines. And see, that's the problem. Because you got people like Ann, you know, Poltergeist and John Sununu and all these Russians, Glenn Beck, equating, you know, to basically saying that our president is the Antichrist. And you got all these people.
And Romney is George Washington. Beck also says that Romney is George Washington, really.
Oh, I didn't hear. See, this is again why I don't watch a lot of television or just watch that kind of shit. So why should I give you my vote? When you have, didn't they jump on Condoleezza Rice too?
Yeah.
Because she's like, okay, you know, you guys are saying all this that it's Obama's fault that there's a crime. She's like, no, you cannot jump to. Now, this is a woman who was Secretary of State.
I mean, you're right. I mean, she carried as much or more water for the Bush administration than Colin Powell ever did.
Exactly.
But then again, to have Dick Cheney out there saying, and Colin Powell led us to war in Iraq on lies. He did. He did that. Him and that decent human being's heart that's in his chest did that. They said that.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So you sit there and you listen to this, and then you wonder why people, and you say racism isn't dead, is dead, but you still have people who know the truth, who know that all these people are lying, that they are going to drag this country down even further than it already is, but yet and still, they will still vote for Romney. Oh, did you hear the latest that our president is a divisive president?
He's been a terrible divider.
Because he can't get more white people to vote for him.
Jesus.
Well,
like I said, I knew I forgot, you know, the beans, rice, gasoline, propane. I forgot to put brown liquor on the on the list. Now I'm screwed.
So yesterday I was on my way at the house because I'm doing Thanksgiving. I stupidly volunteered to host Thanksgiving dinner at my house. What was I thinking? So, you know, you're doing the preparation. At least I'm not going to wait till last minute. I went shopping and got my new mixer for my KitchenAid and the turkey platter and all that. But on my way out the door, I think one of our local stations out here, Charles Stanley, there was information on the show about how to pray for the president. So I didn't hear all of the show, but I heard some digs, so I taped it. I will write an email about it once I watch it, but I just wanted to hear what he had to say, and unfortunately I did not hear everything, and I don't want to say anything out of context, because not that I care what Charles Stanley thinks of me, but, you know, I just wanted to hear what he had. I don't know if in our family really listens to Charles Stanley, but had you heard anything about it?
Uh-uh.
He did an entire broadcast yesterday morning praying for the president and why we should pray for the president.
Well, at least they're not doing that imprecatory prayer, I hope. You know, the one that begins, let his children be without a father, let his wife be without a husband.
Oh. Well, see,
because they've been praying that one for 4 years.
Yeah, they have been. You know, so I'm afraid, but I'm curious as to what the man said. You know, I will email you and let you know. Because I find it interesting, because it's not like I don't see Charles Stanley as a huge Obama supporter, do you?
No. No.
So, I T-voted, and I was gone and doing so much running around yesterday that by the time I came home, I didn't want to watch anything but stupid stuff. So that's what I watched. But I'm trying really hard, because it just dawned on me that this time next week, people are going to be getting ready to go to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm frightened. I am, like I said, the Bush Part 1 and Bush Part 2, I was disturbed, and I was pissed, and I was angry. Yes. I wasn't frightened, Bob. I am terrified.
Well, you know, Tracy, that the right wing is now promulgating this this breathless myth in which the Kenyan Muslim ginned up this storm all by himself with his Kenyan Muslim, sacred father's ring powers.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me?
Wait. But he did it. The storm is coming ashore so that it can knock out electronic voting in key swing states, and then the election can be postponed so that he can maintain his death-like socialist grip on power. I'm not kidding.
Wait a minute. So, who was it? What was it, the ring? J.R. Tolkien, what was it? Is he a hobbit? The ring?
He's Sauron. He's the Dark Lord.
Oh, he's Sauron. Okay. So now he's a witch doctor. Is that what it is? Because he's black and his father's from Africa, he's a witch doctor?
Well, we know one thing that he's not. According to I've Got a Real Marriage, Ann Romney, he's not a grown-up.
Why is he not a grown-up?
Well, she just said that he's not. The grown-ups need to fix this mess he's made.
Oh. So we're talking Ann Romney, the same person that on The View equated her sons going on their mission?
Right, with going off to war.
We're going off to war.
Yeah, the vice president's son has been mobilized for the Delaware National Guard. I don't know where the Romney boys have been mobilized for. Maybe to ride their bicycles somewhere and tell somebody about another testament of Jesus Christ.
You know, I was speaking of Ann Romney and her offspring. Which one was it that said that if he had a chance, he would have slapped the president?
Oh, that was Tag, yeah.
Now, okay, so, question for you, Bob. Hypotheticals here. If Malia why can't I pick up this daughter's name?
Sasha.
If there was Sasha, if who's the oldest, Malia or Sasha?
I think Sasha's the oldest.
So, did she see her doing, because they've been pretty much out of the public limelight, and I hadn't seen them until that first or second debate. I'm like, oh, my God, who are these beautiful women? But let's just say that President Obama had grown studs instead of young ladies.
Yeah.
Artists. And his son, after the debate, said on national television
that he wanted to take a swing at the other guy?
Uh-huh, the white guy.
Yeah, see, the president has not been a very good father, and his mother has not been a very good mother, because it's obvious they have an angry black son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, again, my point, racism is not dead. Racism is not going
away. Oh, racism is alive and well, taking its vitamins.
And taking vitamin E, and, you know, and maybe some Viagra, actually.
Oh, by the way, I did find out Tim from L.A. Did a little quick research. Yes, the mayor of Atlantic City is, of course, a Democrat.
Oh!
Lorenzo Tyrone Langford, born 1955, current mayor of Atlantic City.
Lorenzo? Wait, did you say Lorenzo Tyrone?
Well, I did.
Is Lorenzo a brother, or...
Do I need to be researching that right now?
Because that'll just add the icing to the cake of my. Because see, of course he's a Democrat, and if he's black, that just makes it even more perfect for Krispy Kreme critter, fat lard. I just probably eat lard out of. Do they still make lard?
Oh yes.
Yes. I bet you he just dips his potato chips in lard. And eats them, because nobody his size could just, you know, I bet you he hasn't seen a vegetable since he was, I don't know, unless it's like some corn slathered in butter or something like that. I bet you he hates salad. I think of him and all these.
You want the answer to your question?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
This from Wikipedia. Lorenzo Tyrone Langford, born 1956, is the mayor of Atlantic City, New Jersey, and the resort city's second African-American mayor. Yeah, I told you to get out of the Atlantic City there, but that mayor doesn't give you some comfort or something such there, so, you know, you can just hunker down and die for all I care. We ain't coming back till the morning.
And again, and our...
Where's
and our,
the bacon? And, you know I gotta have bacon.
Well, you know, he probably... What was it that I heard about at the fair? A deep-fried chicken sandwich with... It was a crispy... I guess they take chicken and put it in between two Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh, Jesus.
And dip that in batter. And then they fry it.
And that's the Kris Christie?
Uh-huh. That's what I would name it. So I'm pretty sure... What?
Nothing. See, see, I'm trying to be all colorblind and everything, and I say to you, Lorenzo Tyrone Langford, and you say, is he a brother?
I knew he was a brother. I mean, Lorenzo Tyrone. Langford. And you got to say it Lorenzo Tyrone Langford. Cuz you know.
Well, you know, I don't cuz see, Kris Christie, I mean, he's a political beast. And of course he would. Of course, Tracy, of course he wouldn't be out there using a press conference to goon on some, you know, white dude.
No. No. Never.
Yeah, meanwhile, Ray just said, and he said, leave the boats, take the cannoli.
Yes, yes. What was I said something to Jan the other day, and she said something. I said, leave this and take the cannoli. And she just started, and she's like, aren't you proud of me that I knew that it was from The Godfather? I'm so proud of you.
How could you not? I mean, there's two or three lines. You know, take the cannoli, leave the gun, take the cannolis.
And
one. The other one is tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business.
It was only business. It was only business. You know, and it's like I always liked it. It was, you know, can you do something? No, but you know, you're fucked up. We're gonna have to.
That and Luca Brasa sleeps with the fishes.
the fishes. That's, what does that mean, with the Bronx Street for the fishes? Would it be horrible for me to say that? No, because I don't want to say it. Cause
don't,
I,
now, yeah, let's keep me out of any more trouble, and I got to get in.
You know, I'm trying very desperately not to be a hateful person, and for the most part, I've been very nice. I've actually, my son was teasing me because for the first time in a million years, I babysat my neighbor's little boy on, not Halloween, on Saturday night. And Alex is like, it's finally happened. You're now officially a mammy. You're took care of your first wife.
Ooh. Ooh. Brutal.
Oh, no, no. Well, see, there's a background. I don't think I've ever told you guys. Years ago, obviously, when Alex was a baby, I was at Nordstrom's in West L.A. nursing him. And this old white woman looks at me and says, now, the child is attached to my breast. And like I said, my son is biracial. And when he was born, he was so white. My mother said, put him back in. He's not done yet. What? So,
yeah.
Why you get quiet on me?
No, I'm listening.
The woman asked me whose child it was. Now, did I tell you that the child was attached to my breast?
Yeah, I caught that part.
So, me being me...
but, you know, people can be so just unutterably stupid, Tracy. When back when Margie and Ferg and Doodle were just little tiny people, we had one two-holer stroller and then a third single-seater. So
okay.
Margie got the single-seater, and Ferg and Doodle got the two-holer stroller. And we'd be, you know, bebopping around through a store, grocery store, what have you, and inevitably some old white lady would look at Agnes as if she was, you know, growing a second head right that moment out of the side of her neck and say, are they all yours?
Oh, no, it gets better. Because, see, you guys know me and you know my temperament. So it took everything I had. So I just looked at her and I said, well, you know, ma'am, I'm the wetna. His mammy, I'm me. To see my breast is smelled.
I can believe it. I not only can I believe it, I can hear it.
She did not want her breasts, her fine lily white breasts, to be stretched out, but she wanted that good mother's milk. So she hired me as the wet nurse.
Jesus.
So that's why Alex said what he said about me being a man.
Okay, I get it now. I get it.
Because he's like, finally, it is a fit. You can finally be a mammy because you actually are taking care of a real white child. But it's, and like you say, the sheer stupidity of people, the sheer entitlement of people, you know. I tell people all the time, like when people run up on me at the grocery store, and it's usually a white man or a white woman who says stupid shit, and I just look at them and just think to myself, first of all, if I was a white man, or better yet, a really big black man, you wouldn't have said shit to me.
No. Oh, by the way, you're getting a message from Tim from L.A.
Uh-huh.
He says, hey, Tracy, not all Tyrones are black. It's like saying Alan West is white. Now, where's my room? And he says, good job, Tracy. We love you in the chat room.
But it's just like, like I said, he's right. All Tyrone are not white. I mean, are not black, but a huge majority of them are. But it's like, I have had white people walk up to me and ask me, because, you guys have seen pictures of me. I have, you know, dreadlocks. They want to touch my hair. I'm like, no, I'm not a dog. You cannot pet me. Or, how do you wash your hair?
God.
Yeah. And so this is me.
See,
being me.
Me being an almost 50-year-old white guy, the only thing people say to me is, where'd your hair go?
Right. See, you know.
But I've never had anybody want to rub it for luck or nothing.
You know, but see, what kills me, Bob, and it's gotten, you know, like you said, in the past 4 years, ever since our president was elected, I actually, people had just lost their mind. I actually, the day after the election, this woman almost ran me off the road. She was driving one of those big old Ford F-150 with the big old tires and the gun rack.
No Confederate flag?
No. She probably had it folded up somewhere, though. And she damn near ran me off the road and called me a nigga bitch. And she's like, you know, she said, she screamed something about the president. And that was just like, I was thinking that was going to be just an isolated incident that, you know, I never thought that 4 years ago to next week that I didn't expect for the crazy to come out. Did you expect it?
Yeah, I did. And I have not been surprised by any of it. I mean,
I'm not surprised by it.
I mean, it's all over the place. For instance, right now, because I've got it on mute in the background, CNN is running. I opened the show talking about this, God, a half a year ago, this ad with this menacing looking Asian guy making Asian college students laugh about the collapse of America because of debt. And of course, the implicit message to that is, you know, the yellow horde is going to overrun the United States, right? I don't think a Republican, I don't think a teabagger, I don't think a libertarian can say pass the cornflakes without it having some sort of racial overtone to it.
And this is why, back to when I started off about the conversation about why should I vote. You know, if you're going to tell me, you know, this is why I'm a Democrat. You know, people get on me about, well, why are you voting? You're voting for Obama because he's black. I'm like, and what if I am? You're not white folks been voting in white folks for hundreds of years just because they're white. You don't know what they stand for. You don't care what they stand for. But if the other opponent is a brother or, God forbid, a woman, they're going to vote for the white guy. I said, but see, this is not why I'm voting for him. I said, it's kind of nice to be voting for a black president. But, and I list out, well, because I don't want anything to happen to Medicare. I don't know. I want, you know, more money, you know, our country out of war. I like the idea.
Don't want a new one, neither.
I don't want another one, neither. I like the idea of funding or money going to fund, you know, to rebuild the infrastructure. I like the idea that if, We had a little mini tremor here in L.A. on, was it Sunday? Yeah, Sunday morning at 3.9. And being from California, earthquakes don't really affect me, you know, unless it's something really terrible. But I like the idea of knowing that if we had an earthquake here in sunny California, that FEMA would be here to take care of it. And I wouldn't have to rely on the private sector, you know, i.e. insurance companies, to decide whether or not I have a valid claim. You know?
Right.
I like the idea of my student loans, repaying my student loans back at a decent interest rate. I like those ideas. I like the idea of the fact that, you know, eventually my son is going to be able to have health insurance and not have to worry about if he breaks his leg or something like that, going into debt for the rest of his life. Or worse yet, not being able to be treated and something worse happens. I like the idea of knowing that my eggs are so old that if a sperm hit them, it would turn to dust. But I like the idea.
No, you just get a, yeah, for one life.
yeah. I like the idea of knowing that if I have a friend that has to make the horrible decision or the decision to have an abortion, she could do it safely and legally. I like the idea of knowing that if I need anything done for my reproductive rights will not be touched. I like these ideas. I like the idea of the fact that if, you know, even if I'm not a Christian, which I am, but if you, you know, whoever is not a Christian, they will not be persecuted. That's the reason why all those folks left from England and because to escape religious persecution. This country was not founded on the, you know, as a religious country. Does anybody fucking read? Am I wrong?
No, you're right. But no, apparently they don't read. Because remember, this hurricane is happening because we're letting the homos get married.
Yeah. Not in California. So is that why we haven't had any storms here? Because you can't get married if you're gay here?
Right. Yeah. But bear in mind, gay people also cause earthquakes and volcanoes.
Famine?
I haven't heard it, probably. But we do know they're in charge of earthquakes and volcanoes as well.
Well, see, here's the deal. So, in other words, because we had a tremor, like I said, we had a little tremor yesterday morning. So, in other words, if in California, if gays finally get the right back to vote, because they had that right before Proposition 8, so if they get it back to the rights to marry, I'm sorry, so that means we're going to have California's going to fall up into the ocean.
Just about.
This is why I call you, Bob, because I need, to be validated. I need assurances that, because I just want to make sure that, California is a sin-filled state anyway. You know, we got that San Francisco and that West Hollywood, from one end of the state to the other. We're just letting gay homosexuals run rampant. I can't even imagine, because Halloween is Wednesday, and I'm still trying to debate as to whether or not I'm going to work Wednesday night, because I can't work in West Hollywood. I have a permit to do so. But it's going to be mayhem. You're going to have all these gay people running around with little or no clothes on. Actually, West Hollywood...
Consider this, because I just saw somebody offering up a comment, and it's very, very trenchant. Willard, during the first debate... you remember when he said his sons were nothing but liars, and so he knows, I've got five boys and they're liars, and I can tell when I'm being lied to. In essence, by implication, calling the president of the United States boy, right?
Boy. Mm-hmm.
So this latest Ann Romney thing got caught on tape, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
And what she says is, the ship's going over the waterfall. It's almost there. You can almost hear her clutching her pearls, can't you? And we look at what's happening in Greece, and we look what's happening around the world. We look what's happening internationally. This is a frightening world, and we need a grown-up, and we need someone that understands the economy. So I'm glad Mitt has grown up to you all. In other words, the president of the United States, Barack Obama, is not a grown-up. That means he's a...
boy.
Boy.
Well, what was it? Who was it that was it? Pat Robertson that my boy Reverend Al Sharpton Stewart a couple of years ago, about a year or so ago.
Yeah.
I don't know what the conversation was about. Pat Robertson said, "Your boy Obama."
Yeah.
And this is when I got a whole new respect for Reverend Al, because I never really paid him much mind. But when he said, he looked Pat Robertson straight in the eye and said, first of all, he's President Obama, and second of all, he's not my boy, he's a grown-ass man.
Yeah. But see, when you're just swimming in that kind of race privilege, you don't even hear it when you're doing it yourself. Well,
you don't even hear it.
Of course that wasn't what she meant. She's a lovely horsewoman.
Yes. Well, I had an incident. Like I said, I have to balance myself from slapping white people.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be. Look, would you be surprised to find out that, they're all into horses and everything. Would you be surprised to find out the Romneys at some point in their life have had a lawn jockey?
Of course they've had. It would shock me that they didn't have one. How about that?
Yeah.
It would shock me that they did not have one. Well, we were at Disneyland on Friday night, and I don't know if you've ever been to Disneyland or Magic Mountain, any amusement park.
Never. My childhood was scarred by not going to either Disneyland or Disney World.
They do these things, like they have the parade at certain times and fireworks, and so they quarter cordoning off certain sections where you can sit or stand or whatever, and wait. And people usually go sitting for like a half an hour to an hour, if not longer, to save spots so their family can sit and what have you. And the rest of the family, you know, goes run on off or goes rise. It's usually the grandparents. So I was sitting on the ground waiting for the fireworks, and I guess there was this bench, and it was four ladies sitting on the bench, and two of them got up. And so I got up to sit down, and this white woman jumps up and tries to sit before me. And she's like, well, I was waiting for this seat. I'm like, no, you weren't, because how would you, I said, these people were sitting, so how would you know that they were getting ready to leave? And she looked at me, Bob, in such a way like, bitch, you know I'm a white woman, so therefore I'm entitled to this seat. You know I didn't move, right?
I would be shocked if you had.
I looked at her, and she's like, well, you know, I have a bad break. I said, well, you know, I just had brain surgery. You want to see the scar? How about that? So.
Beautiful.
Because I was, you know, and so she looked at me like, how, and, you know, like you said, you're a white man, so you'll never, you could empathize with me about what I go through. And I don't say it's on a daily basis, but it happens more often than not. When I run up against white privilege, and especially from white women, I don't know, white men I think I scare. But white women, there's just a certain way, and I'm not saying that all white women are, you know, some of my best friends are white women. But when you know that this person is looking at you like you are less than human, not because you know anything about, you don't know anything about me. You don't know my education. You don't know about my upbringing. You don't know jack about me other than, but you see a black woman and automatically you perceive me as the nigga bitch. And nothing I can say, nothing I can do will change you otherwise. Okay? And I think about Reverend Martin Luther King, about, not George, to me, about the color of my skin, but the content of my character. And you are judging me without even knowing anything about me. You are judging me, you know, and I'm a damn good person. I'm pretty smart. I'm funny as hell. And I'm kind of cute. But you don't see me as that. It's like when, you know, when my girlfriend's brother was talking about why should Michelle Obama be angry? She is the first lady. I said, because the whole list of why that, you know, you got Bubba and Mabel sitting in the double wide with no teeth drinking moonshine and V5.
Now, easy. That's my people.
I know, but then, you know, by virtue of the fact that they white and probably have four teeth between them, and probably between the both of them didn't get out of the fourth grade, thinking that they're better than our president and our first lady just because they're white?
Yes. Yes. I mean, you can go on YouTube and find that clip from, what was her name, Alexandra Pelosi, that she did when she went down to Mississippi to talk to, you know, Republicans about, you know, why they are. And yes, absolutely. It's at the core of more things than we even begin to contemplate, Tracy. I tell you what, I've got some blinking lights, and I want to make sure that
you
I hit them.
The lights. Yes,
but
you
do you want to be on hold, or do you want
to? On hold for a minute until I figure out Sketcher. But one quick question.
Uh huh.
How do we do with my challenge? Because
it went through magnificently.
So, okay, we'll expect a thing from PayPal any minute now.
Beautiful.
So, there you go. I'm glad to be of help, of a service.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's the end of the month, baby. Rent's coming and all that other stuff. So, you guys, speaking of hunkering down, please be careful. Be safe.
Oh, we're gonna try. I mean, I'm worried, like I said, I'm worried about the wind, and I'm worried the power grid generally, because that thing's hanging together with it like some sort of little MacGyver job after last summer.
Well, we used to call my stepfather Shaft MacGyver. what he used to be able to do with a generator and some battery cables. staff MacGyver.
That's beautiful.
Anyway, may God bless you and keep you and your family be safe. And all the other folks on the East Coast, y'all be careful now. You hear?
Well, I've got the little propane heater going back here, so it's not brutally cold. So it's that, I guess, that time of year is upon us.
Awesome. Well, yeah, put me on hold and until I get my Stitcher going, and we'll go from there.
All right. See you, Tracy. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Known to many and sundry as Lady Cab Driver, that's our buddy Tracy. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Well, hey, Juanita.
Can you hear me okay? That was really beautiful.
You're a little distorted, but I'll work on it as we go.
I hear you really good, but if I put the phone down, can you hear me better?
Pardon?
Can you hear me better?
I hear you good.
Okay. Well, that was an excellent call.
Yeah, Tracy's just something.
I got a lot of laughs, and I got a lot of memories invoked, and I... Anyhow, I'm so amazed that you're incommunicado. Not incommunicado.
I am too, but there's no guarantees about tomorrow.
It looked like you were iced over.
No, not yet, but it's the nasty started coming late this afternoon. So far, it's just been a lot of cold rain, but that just means
they were saying you had blizzards.
We're under warnings. It may not get.
They were showing stuff, so I don't know where they got their pictures. But anyway, I'm glad you're online. You know, in other words.
Me too. We may not be tomorrow.
I know. But I hope it doesn't fare too well, too bad for you. Because this is probably one of the worst things in this part of the world, for our country, as far as its possibilities.
Sandra just sent a photograph of Atlantic City off of TwitPic, and it is it's an astonishing, it's... Atlantic City is just...
It's torn off a lot of the boardwalk, I heard.
Yeah, boardwalk pretty much gone. But, you know, water's everywhere.
Yeah. And you heard about that crane in New York City.
Yeah, the CNN keeps showing shots of it as if they're, you know, just waiting for it to go over any minute.
Yeah. But anyway, well, part of it fell and passing people out that was... mileage per hour is only about 20 miles at the time it fell. That fell. But anyhow, I want to make a little commentary about some of the things that y'all were talking about. So, Lulu, I have a couple of things to add here. I'm sure you've heard already, but to remind you, who did call Obama crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And he said we need to learn how to be an American.
Right.
Right.
Now, how do you do that, Bob? I was born here. Don't that make me an American?
Well,
what I have to do to prove I'm an American, I am an American. I am.
I don't think I can even come up with something smart alecky to say, Juanita. That's, John Sununu is just a man filled with hate. And his job has been...
Yeah, I found that out yesterday.
Well, I think his job actually has been to say outrageous things so that the bishop's policy positions will be... in the media, people tend to look at shiny things and go, oh, look, John Sununu said something else stupid. Let's not talk about Willard Romney's damaging policies. Let's talk about John Sununu saying something stupid.
And then Kofi's new book, she was on, she was promoting it on, what's the name of that show I'm supposed to be watching?
Oh, The View?
Yeah, The View, about a week or so ago. And she's rewriting the history of black people.
Oh, yeah, that was the day that Whoopi ate her for lunch.
Yes, she did, that's what I was going to say. And the other one got it. This woman is saying, or whatever she is creepy. She's
you know, just say that way, oh, I was just making a joke, or ha, 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 you know.
Yeah. They always hide behind that stuff.
Then I want to say something about, she's told you I want to bring up a Lowe's hospital. Back when we went to war with Iraq, this, you know, has a great friend. I've been talking about it a lot, you know. It has a great belief that their mama got elected. And she said, oh, well, it was the trash man. I heard his sermon, and he was explaining just why it was right for us to go to war with Iraq.
Oh, God, I can't hardly.
And I said,
I remember it.
You do remember it?
Oh, yeah, all the lies. You know, we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud.
Well, this is Charles Stanley. She was there, you know, him being a preacher, and has to be respected, you know. That,
right.
A lot of people think she's kind of mild, but I went and looked it up on the Internet, and I wonder what he said. You know what his message was?
No.
Was when Jesus told the disciples to buy swords. Then it got on to him because they had two swords. So you said, who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. And this is his whole thing, and he was saying to the congregation, I bet you didn't know that was in there. I bet you didn't know that was in there. And he was using all of that to justify the Iraqi war.
Yeah, well, the Southern Baptist Convention used Peter owned a sword as its justification for backing George's slaughter of Iraq.
Yeah, and that doesn't make sense. Of course, I have never been able to understand it, but why did he ask him by a sword and tell him they should die by the sword? I mean, they don't even compute, Bob. In my mind.
Well, no, it doesn't, and it doesn't compute in your mind, Juanita, because you have a normal functioning brain.
That's not a normal brain.
You're not a bloodthirsty Republican.
Then another thing, I got some really, I got a really one of the special, good, recently, you know, to our conversation the other day. I don't know if it's the same one, but Rod said, I know it's like David from South Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah. He writes all these different things, you know, and not really long, but, you know, really, really good things, most of them. And I just love them. And he was brought up about the Christians in the churches, you know, they're voting for a non-Christian and voting against the Christian. And it just came to me, I just made this little proclamation about what's on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I know I did. Anyway, I said, if he gets to be president, I wonder how long it will take for this to become a Mormon nation instead of a Christian nation. I said, because it can't happen. I remember that. Now, I met some good Mormons. I mean, people are wonderful. You know, that's tasting everything. But anyway, I remember though some of their policies of their church that's they're the only true church. That's their teachings. And they definitely do not like the Catholic, and they don't like the other churches either. That's all I'm talking about from the top down. And, my fear for that you don't like to talk about anybody's religion, but people like Romney and Aaron and all, and Lynn Beck and Carl Rove, you know, they're all Mormons.
And Rove? Well, wait. Rove is?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'm positive.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
And anyway, God does that the leaders, if they're not
for them what they're saying. Why don't the leaders of the martyrs speak out against these people for all of the things? I mean, they're horrible. These people are horrible. And I'm including Rhonda because I listen, I don't hear any truth at all. And stop and think about it. You know, they haven't had answer to anybody. Now, poor old Kennedy, he had to go in and make speeches about why he wasn't going to...
Wasn't going to let the Pope control him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But they haven't had to answer for anything.
No, because that would be attacking him for his religion. We're not even allowed to ask questions anymore, Juanita.
And you've got like what's this? The senator from Utah that writes religious songs.
You're talking about. Orrin Hatch, the one that writes religious songs is Crisco John Ashcroft from Missouri.
No, that's not the only one.
Oh, really? Because I was thinking about the eagle.
Not Mormons.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking about the eagle is sore or whatever it was.
Yeah, no, he's a Pentecostal. No, no. But anyway, the other one is a Mormon, and he's written songs. He's written a lot of the so-called Christian songs, and he's written a lot of. Songs, you know,
March on Mighty Laminates, or, you know, the Mighty Mormon is our God, or what?
Why did they be honored, these liars? I mean, that guy, you listen to him, and he lies one lie right after the other. And I had an obvious liar, and if he's going to be a liar, be a good liar.
No, they're not even trying anymore. Willard yanked one right out of thin air. Well, did you know that Chrysler's going to said the Kenyan Muslims going to make Chrysler send all their Jeep manufacturing to China?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He just says it, and then he don't care.
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah.
And then people say, oh, well, this is going
right.
To be.
And the people go, well, it must be true because the white guy said it about the black guy.
Yeah. And then another thing I wrote on, this is on my mind about, I've been thinking about it, and I wrote it on Facebook. Well, I said, I wonder how many jobs, you know, Romney has created over here that haven't gone to China.
I don't know that he's created any, except maybe...
Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
And so I get a response on that one from a girl I've known since she was a kid. And she says...
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
She says, my job went overseas, but it was not because of Romney. But hey, I heard Michelle Obama say that during the past 4 years, her husband had created jobs, good jobs, jobs you could raise a family on. And that's not the jobs I've seen. Okay.
You can't even work. With stupid on that level, Juanita.
I know it.
It is so good to hear from you. I'm gonna catch the next blinking light, but hopefully we'll be back here tomorrow night. Just you know, cross your fingers for us, would you? All right.
I hope so too. My prayers and best wishes go with you.
Thank you, Juanita. You have a good night, dear.
Your little family.
All right. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye now. It's always just lovely hearing from Juanita. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Speaking to stupid people, try to talk to Belkin Rowder.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
Which part of India did you get connected to?
Micronesia.
Oh, Micronesia, okay.
It could have been the other side of hell. I don't know. You know, all of a sudden things are working fine, and then it says connected... But no internet connection and no IP address. So I guess that's the router. Something's wrong with it, right?
Not necessarily, Jim.
Well, can you enthrall me with your acumen, please?
I mean, without further diagnosis, I'd be hard-pressed, but, you know, we're in the... All I'll say is that you and I are both connected into the series of tubes by a cable company.
Uh-huh.
And Competency is not either, and they're two different companies, but Competency is not their strong suit in either instance.
Yeah, Suddenlink.
But you've got your TV and you've got your phone, right?
Right.
And are they both through Suddenlink?
Hell no. I would have a phone through Suddenlink for anything in the world.
But the TV is, right?
Yeah. It's working fine.
I don't know. Before I made an assumption about the router, I'd be talking to Suddenlink.
I've talked to three people about that, but that's not your problem. It's just a pain in the ass. And what I need to do is get a wireless modem.
It might not be a bad idea. Well, I don't know how old yours is, but you know the technology has it's constantly changing. So if you've got a modem that's more than 3 years old, it might as well be a Stutz Bearcat. Because things obsolete that quickly. But I am deeply in your debt for the earlier email reference to Governor Lepetamine, Jim. I giggled merrily when I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine what's going to happen here tomorrow? I'm glad I have power, but I try to deal with Suddenlink and all these women and stuff like that, and, you know, they just tell you, unplug this and unplug that. And finally I got to a point where I wanted to tell them to put the plug.
I understand.
I'm sure you've been there yourself.
More times than I can count.
So how the fuck are you?
You know, we're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm glad. I wasn't convinced I was going to be on the air, Jim.
Well, I didn't think you were either, to tell you the truth.
But so far, so good. And but then again, a lot of people have said that who have come to grief.
But, I can think of several.
Yeah. Obviously, things are a lot worse in other places.
Yeah, what have you heard? What's the sit rep on?
Well, I just heard from Andy, as a matter of fact, just seconds ago. He said the phones are out in New Jersey. He says he can't get through to his mom there. He says after seeing pictures of Atlantic City, you'll like this, Jim. After seeing pictures of Atlantic City, do you think Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma could now not only be called the stupidest man in the Senate, but has also justly earned the dubious accolade of being one of the stupidest crass Koch brothers propagandist sellouts on the planet? Of our planet. Andy says, how many people will have to die in these catastrophes because of these global warming deniers, these happy fossil fuel political stooges, also known as the Repiglican Party? Remember Mittens saying Mr. Obama was going to keep the ocean water level down, and what a big laugh. Remember that big laugh he got at his convention on that, Jim?
Yeah, I'm afraid I do.
And now it doesn't seem quite so. Now it doesn't seem quite so silly anymore. And you know they like to these right wingers like to go and wail away on God, this is God's wrath on America for fill in the blank of whatever the right winger doesn't like. But the fact of the matter is, no, it's looking a lot like this is a desperate wake up call from the planet. But that they can't hear because they hate the planet anyway. They're just waiting, they're waiting to go somewhere else.
Well, you know, if Katrina wasn't enough to tell them something was wrong, and other storms, now there have been northeasters and stuff like this, but nothing that has crossed the entire continent the way this thing is, and we have not just, well, we have several sub-storms. That are converging, do we not?
Yeah, it does. That's why they're calling this a Frankenstorm, because it's multiple systems being drawn together into something we have not seen before. I mean, this Atlantic storm is the largest in recorded history.
Yep. It is a vortex there, and it appears to be very slow moving and extremely destructive. And does it take New York to be flooded? Because we talked about this before.
Well, Atlantic City's underwater. Delaware's had the hell knocked out of it. I guess the core of the storm is coming ashore like right now.
Yeah, supposedly 2 hours ago, about 1800, I think.
No. I mean, it's the very core is making landfall as we speak, and sustained winds in excess of 85 miles an hour. Up in, you know, Connecticut underwater, New Jersey underwater. But no, man couldn't possibly affect the planet to that degree, right?
Oh no.
But I really would. I tweeted it earlier. I'd like to see Senator Inhofe row out to sea and report on the climate change hoax from there.
Well, maybe he should have been a passenger on that ship they use for.
Oh, the Bounty?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wondered.
Apparently, CNN's even having a hard time keeping its picture of Anderson Cooper even viable.
You know, what I don't understand is this. Why was that boat out there in the first place, knowing the storm was on the way?
The best I could...
Were they shooting movies or something?
No, that thing crosses back and forth from Europe to the U.S. and the Caribbean every year, and he was the ships as it was explained to me by Nancy, who knows a good bit about the sea and seafaring. He apparently left harbor because I guess they were afraid it would get beaten all to hell in the docks. And he was going to try to sail around it.
Well, I mean, number one, Thor Heyerdahl already did this once before on the Ra 2, but I'm sure he would not sail his ship into a conflagration like this because, you know, when they have to sortie the fleet to get it out of harbor, these aren't model ships.
No, and the fleet in Norfolk was sent out a couple or three days ago, I think.
Exactly. I mean, this was an absolute suicide mission for these people to be on. Oh, well, what can I say?
A square-rigged ship wiped out by 40-mile-an-hour winds and 18-foot seas.
Well, Davy Jones Locker, there it is. So what else have you guys been talking about tonight?
Mainly, this is it. It's hard to talk about much of anything else, Jim, just because so many people are in the crosshairs of it, and you know, the water now he is standing in the middle of like the main drag in Atlantic City, and the water is now up to Ari Velshi's knees, and they still won't let the poor man come in. God Almighty.
I saw him earlier, and I cannot understand why they put people out like that.
Holding on to electrical equipment with water up to your knees.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it?
But the power is apparently still on, so that's. I mean, frankly, that's surprising. We've had many, many shots of the dangling boom of the crane in New York.
Yeah. Bob, I don't know. It's just absolutely the world just turned upside down. It really is.
Well, and again, the thing that I keep coming back to, one, this is you realize that this is 4 months to the day since the derecho hit us in June, right?
Yeah, I thought about that.
And so for everybody in this region, you know, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, our power grid is strung together on a hope and a prayer. So that means the likelihood is even greater that we're going to lose power, and we're going to lose power for longer than expected. But that smirking sleazy grifter Romney was, I guess, still campaigning in Ohio earlier today when he said, "Well, I guess Ohio hasn't had a hurricane in a while." Well, Ohio was one of the states that got the snot knocked out of it by that storm 4 months ago.
That's where it came from.
Yeah, it swept right across Ohio, knocked the snot out of that, and then hit us. But you know, this paragon of virtue and prayerful consideration, he doesn't even realize that. Because people in Ohio were without power just like we were, Jim.
No. You know, I told you about that man and what I think of him. I think he's absolutely, number one, asymmetrical in his behavior. And number two, he's just absolute nuts. And you know, speaking of the devil, the power is flashing over here, too. So, I mean, who only knows? That's the reason I keep a landline, a cell phone, and, you know, that's the reason I do that. But, I mean, what are the predictions in this area? Pretty bad?
When you get over to where you are, like, you know, Beaver, West Virginia is around 2,000 feet, isn't it? And it's anything 2,000, 2,500, well, from 2,500 feet and up, they're saying it's going to be just a booger. And then below it, we're supposed to get, what, six inches to 12?
They're talking about 2 to 3 feet here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Bob. I'll tell you, it's just an incredible situation. It's not.
Well, you've got everything you need, right? I mean, you've got your water and some candles and batteries for your flashlights and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't use candles, I can tell you that, because I know of one crazy woman who would call me during stuff like this, and she would have nothing candles. I kept telling her, you know, you need to have some other source of illumination, and the fool caught her hair on fire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so what else is in the world that needs to fight this storm?
There is other things. The campaigns have pretty much...
ground to a halt.
Yeah, mercifully. But the filthy ads are still running. I noticed that. I guess, if you want to talk about something gag-inducing, Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, showed up on This Week with George Snuffleupagus yesterday, and in regard to the right wing's constant assault on women's rights and all this evil stuff they've been saying about rape. Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich advised America to get over it.
Really?
Yeah. That's it. Get over it.
Well, that sounds like a typical response from that idiot. And that respecter of womanhood, doesn't it?
Sure. Meanwhile, cranky old John McCain says that the Obama administration's response to the attack in Benghazi is, and these are his words, Jim, you might want to sit down for this, worse than Watergate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was kind of... Really? Worse than Watergate? But that's what he said.
Well, what do you expect from him? I mean, I can remember the Senate hearings between Abramoff and McCain, and how Abramoff had sluiced so many dollars to him, and yet they were sitting in judgment on Jack Abramoff, you know?
Right.
Now, maybe that's Kevin Spacey in the movie, but I don't doubt it.
Well, nor do I. No, John McCain is an incredibly sleazy individual, Jim. And, you know, this is a guy who has literally, from the moment he was born, supped on the federal teat. He's never held down a real job in his life. But he feels comfortable talking about, you know, free market economics. And, you know.
Well, maybe it took the Viet Cong to get him to go to work, you know?
God, that's brutal, but it may be true. It may be the only honest work he ever did.
Well, I mean, it's just like they talked about John Barrymore and during the San Francisco earthquake, and he was, at the San Francis Hotel, and he was thrown out of bed and ran out into the street. And, of course, they had the army there, and they gave him a shovel, and he was telling his brother Lionel about it, and Lionel said, Well, it took the act of God to get him out of bed and the U.S. Army to put his ass to work. And that is a true quote, let me tell you.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
In spite of the famous profile and that type thing, you know. I always liked John Barrymore and a lot of stuff he did, but I mean, he did have his problems. And, you know, it's just incredible. I can't remember the name of the star. Oh, God. It was, Errol Flynn. Remember him?
Oh, heavens, yes.
When Barrymore died, as a joke on Errol Flynn, somehow they got his body from the Undertaker, fully dressed, and when Errol Flynn came home, there was Barrymore sitting up in his study.
God, surprised Errol Flynn didn't just keel over on the spot, but then again, he may have, well. There was a movie out there, Jim. It features Humphrey Bogart as a Mexican bandit, Randolph Scott as a Confederate general, or maybe Errol Flynn as a Confederate general, and somebody trying to stop a gold shipment. And that film was made as a matter of punishment for all three stars because they had all been busted, you know, in the old studio system. They'd all been busted for doing one wicked thing or another, and that's how you got punished. You got put in bad movies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Hays Commission had a way of taking care of people who had transgressed and stuff like that. I remember when they got this...
But I will never forget the visual of Humphrey Bogart wearing that little flat top-brimmed round hat with the little fringe balls hanging all the way around the brim and a seedy little mustache trying to talk with... You know, imagine Humphrey Bogart doing a cheap Spanish accent.
I really can't do that, tell you the truth.
Well, if you're not careful, you'll be watching Turner Classic Movies late some night, and it'll be on, and you'll view it in all its horrifying glory.
Well, they all had their problems. I can remember when Errol Flynn got into problems with statutory rape, and he finally got out of way. He finally got away from that, and I think he put a sign outside of his house or wherever he lived saying that all girls had to show their ID because the one that he had gotten into looked a lot older than 16 or 18 or whatever. And then she called statutory rape on him, and he went through a big trial. It's all in that book called Errol Flynn, My Wicked, Wicked Ways.
Oh, and the name of this film is Virginia City.
Yeah, I've seen that thing years ago. Absolutely. Well, listen, anything more on the political situation other than both campaigns has just stopped?
Not really. It's fairly quiet. I think who was it? Lawrence O'Donnell today said the campaign is for all intents and purposes over now.
Yeah, they won an October surprise. Boy, did they get one. Isn't it ironic that, number one, Hurricane interrupted the Republican convention back in Florida, and now, look at this.
Yeah.
It's as if the earth or a very angry weather god is not too happy with some of the stuff that's going on. It's just really...
That makes far more sense to me than hurricanes coming because two guys have picked out, you know, have had some bath linens monogrammed.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't.
But that's the argument they're making.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. It's already started.
You mean like Romney and
No, well, you know, the right-wingers, the religion industry, the fundamentalists, you know, people who are going to run out and vote for Romney. Yeah.
Lord God Almighty.
This hurricane is God's judgment on America for its wicked ways, and our only hope is to return to decency by electing that Willard Romney.
I don't know. It's just incredible what people...
When in fact, I think it's much easier to explain it as saying, as Bill McKibben did, by saying, Jim, that this is the Earth's vengeance on us for letting the fossil fuel and hydrocarbon industry run rampant.
Well, Mother Nature certainly has a way of getting back at you if you mistreat it long enough, that's for sure. I mean, anything like that. You know, the Earth's ecosystem is just very much like the human body. And, of course, if you abuse and mistreat long enough, there are serious consequences. That's just the way I see it. I don't know. I don't know how you see it, but that's the way I see it, really.
Well, there's... It's hard to evade.
These are problems that...
Ray just pointed out that President Obama has a real chance to be a hero here. But there's a thing at work here that... I mean, if Barack Obama himself went and saved kittens from treetops in Atlantic City,
mm-hmm.
the right wing would ask what he had against dogs. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there are certain situations in which a person can do no right, and the only objective they have is to remove him from office as quickly as possible. And what is more frightening is this, even if he should get past the electoral process and pass, you know, the election being thrown into the House, then what they're going to try to do is to use the thing in Libya.
Well, and we know that because of Craig Unger's article from a month ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're pulling all the stops out. I mean, they're trying to get everything they can on this man to, just like they did Bill Clinton. And they had this big argument about, during the debate, about the response time that Obama gave. What was the Romney thing? It was like 14 days or something like that. And then they had some general ham. They said it was removed. And they were trying to say he was removed for cause. Well, it was a change of command ceremony. He was scheduled to leave Libya.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, listen, how badly is it snowing at your house?
It was when you know, darkness came, it was beginning to coat the ground.
Mm-hmm. And are you prepared?
As much as we can be. I mean, we've got water, we've got propane, we've got batteries, we've got gasoline for the generator and oil for the generator. We've got food and water. Right now, the joker in the deck is the roof.
How's it doing?
Leaking.
Oh my God, Bob! How long has that team been doing that?
Well, it was almost tolerable until the it wasn't terrible until the storm hit, and then the storm hit and just wreaked havoc with it. And we've been in the process of getting that dealt with, and then I mean, literally, I finally got a viable estimate early last week, and then this happened.
Well, as you said earlier, it's better to go ahead and lose a few more shingles.
Yeah, if it's going to get blown off, what I'm worried about is the weight of the snow.
Oh, let me tell you, I worked in a building near here, and the whole building collapsed because of it.
I remember, what was that, 1999, that huge snow?
96.
Huge snowstorm, and the entire roof of the Kroger's collapsed?
Mm-hmm. Sure did. And knowing the people who work in that Kroger, I wish they had all been in there. But nonetheless, I should have said that. That was not.
Well, I remember driving by it, and one corner of the building was being held up by a stack of bread racks.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that concentrated water in the form of snow, once it keeps going, particularly that heavy, wet snow, And what they're calling for in this area is like 2 to 3 feet.
Yeah, and that's what's going to be the problem. This is going to be heavy, wet snow. The ground is very well saturated, which means the trees are going to be more easily uprooted. And if anything much above 60 miles an hour comes along, Katie, bar the door.
Well, what are the wind speeds over there, do you know?
They were just beginning to gust a little bit. It hadn't gotten ugly yet the last time I was outside. But that was about an hour before showtime.
Well, I certainly hope that...
Kind of wish I had an anemometer.
Yeah. Yeah, I certainly wish you did, but nonetheless, it would at least give you the wind speeds. But
then again, if we're just going to sit around wishing, maybe I should wish I was, you know, in Hawaii or something.
You know, I think, buddy, I'm going to tell you this. The best thing you can do is to, if you can ever possibly do it, is to get the fuck out of the state. Because I can remember when you went overseas and all this kind of stuff, and you were out doing things that you enjoyed doing, and you were away from all this harassment of mountaintop removal and everything like that. You came back a changed man. Your gallbladder wasn't giving you troubles, and you were just transformed.
Well, and it is transformative.
And this is not a good place to live. And I hate to say it, I don't think there's a hell of a lot anybody can do to make it a whole lot better, given the mindset of the people who live in this state. I really don't think there is. There may be a few, but not many, and the powers that be are going to have their way. They're going to continue to blast those mountains apart. I mean, I called the congressman's office about the AIC Act, okay?
Yeah.
And they said that in order for them to have any serious consideration of the AIC Act, and I'm not going to mention his name, okay, that they would have to have over 900 signatures on the petition that you'd ask people to sign online.
Well, hell, we've got 2,000.
Well, I know I signed on to it, and I sent you a thing, you know. But that's what they said, 900. I mean, these people are so woodenly stupid and so stupidly wooden that even their assistants and their aides don't know what the hell's going on.
No.
Or if they did, they aren't going to tell you. They're going to try and discourage you from making your request that the particular congressman sign on, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, that was the information I got or received.
Well, that was they were just handing you a line of bull, Jim.
Well, how many times have I heard that from people on Capitol Hill? It's just amazing. Our Congress, isn't it? Or our congressmen. We all hate them collectively, but individually.
We tend to think that, oh, well, mine's a good one.
Yeah.
But even that has dissipated significantly, Jim.
Yeah, I think you're right. It has, in my opinion, too. Because basically what they're doing is up there serving their own...
I mean, here we are in the middle of campaign season, and I saw our representative at a little local hamburger joint last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, politicians are a certain special breed of creature.
Oh, and, I'm quite familiar with that.
And you would expect to see, you know... Not necessarily him going and shaking hands and kissing babies, but maybe somebody coming up and saying, you know, good luck to you, or, you know, maybe some friend of Cole coming up and saying, you know, we're in your corner. Nothing. Nothing. Not a word. Not a peep. And he kept looking around like he was expecting somebody to say something to him.
I'll tell you, you can give yourself a treat. Talk to him when he's loaded.
Done that. Well, you remember the Beckley Chili Festival, right?
Yeah.
You know, back before it got so huge that you couldn't move anymore. You know, it was kind of fun. You know, one night a year, you can walk around the streets of Beckley with a glass of beer in your hand.
Right.
Mind you, it's not very good beer, but you know, it's beer.
Well, you know.
But yeah, I had one of those conversations. And it was a Lulu.
And the upshot was, You wish you had run into him?
Well, no. I mean, it's just like, you know, regular guy. But then all the regular is gone as soon as the beer is.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I heard that Boss Man Wayne got elected Democrat of the Year or something like that.
Yes, he is Raleigh County Democrat of the Year, Boss Man Wayne is. Glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, absolutely. How's he doing?
He's working his butt off. I think he's probably single-handedly responsible for the fact that there are actually Obama signs and yards in this area. Because he had some saved back from 4 years ago. And they are all over the place now.
Well, buddy, I don't know what to tell you about the other stuff. I hope that we can pass through the night, and I'll see what it's going to be like, to tell you the truth.
I hope you get your internet problems sorted out and
what I do is just unplug the damn thing and it comes right back up.
Right.
And when I go to my desktop, it says connected, or you know, connect, and then it says no IP address or something like that when I call SuddenSlink. And they are the most difficult people in the world to deal with. I mean, they will send you all around and tell you to, you know, well, you got to disconnect this, and the head bones connect to the leg bone, all this kind of stuff. And I said, do you know what the hell you're talking about? Oh, yes, I certainly do. I've been here 4 years. I said, my point exactly. I said, probably the only place where you could be for 4 years if you were in a modern, real situation. Of course, I don't mean to voice my personal problems onto a public forum, but nonetheless, it's just a hell of a note. But I hope that you don't get more snow than you can deal with, but I hope that I don't. Lights have blinked several times over here.
I'm not going to jinx. I hope I'm not jinxing myself, but not even once here so far.
No. For God's sake, don't tempt fate. That's for damn sure. Absolutely. Do not.
I don't know if I can stand another one of those things where I'm not on the air for, you know, 12 days.
How long were you without power?
The last storm, 12 days. And then when they finally got the power up, it was another 3 days before we got internet back.
God, Bob, what did you do? You did the best you could.
Yeah, read a lot. You know, we got through. It was hotter than bejesus. You know, now it's a different question altogether. It's a matter of staying warm.
Yeah. It's just amazing how, like I say, this is not a very friendly place in which to live. It simply isn't.
It's not an easy place to live.
No, it's not. I mean, you have, number one, people who are absolutely idiots.
And I'm not, I'm not proud of the fact, but I actually went into Walmart on Saturday because I'd already been to Kroger's and there was no bottled water on the shelf. And I was just loading up with bottled water in case, you know, because you do that in these instances. Because when the derecho came through, we didn't have water for 3 days. And that becomes a real pain.
My Lord, what did you do?
We accessed some resources for toilet flushing, and apart from that, you know, we drank bottled water because we, you know, I try to keep some always on hand, but I was pretty low, so I went into Kroger's. They didn't have any. So then, much to my own chagrin, I went over to Wally World and went in there, and my God, Jim, it was like Lord of the Flies. I mean, people, you know, the place was just crammed. People, you know, milk, gone, bread, gone, eggs, gone, water, gone.
Yeah. It's just amazing how desperate people are in situations like this. It really is.
Well, it falls apart pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, really, the fabric of society is basically rent in twain.
It's tenuous. It is tenuous, to say the very least. I mean,
particularly when people are without power and without, you know, the necessities of life and stuff like that, and you really see how desperate and how evil
Yeah, although you know, the lights are still on in New York, so that's a good sign.
Well, I hope that no seawater gets into those underwater conduits, because if it does, that's going to put that city out of commission for a long time.
That's a damn mess, is what that is.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you know, there's the larger question to be asked or pondered, and this is more of an anthropological question than anything. We as humans tend to build our cities by the sea.
Well, yeah, that's natural because of trade connectivity and ports and stuff like that. That's what New York was at one time. Washington the same way. I mean, before Washington in that area was Georgetown. It was a huge tobacco port.
Right.
Right on the Potomac.
But it is, it's begging, you know, it begs the question of how smart is that?
Well, Bob, where can you build? Because if you don't build near the sea, you're going to build near some place where there's an earthquake activity and stuff like that. I mean, where is there a safe place to build a city?
Well, sure, everything has its drawbacks, but building right on the verge of the sea has got to be one of the, because if you look at the numbers, Jim, of the number of cities that are threatened by global climate change because of their geographic location by the water. It's a huge hunk of the population of the planet.
Oh,
by
yeah.
The way, Ray just dropped me a note. The streets of Manhattan are flooded.
Well, I'm afraid it wouldn't look too good for people in gondolas going up and down like they do in Venice.
No,
Venice certainly has this problem because they've been talking about, you know, New York having to have some type of floodgate outside that was built, you know, to withstand stuff like this and storm surges. And, you know, I sit right on those rails right by Canal Street. I mean, you know, right there at Battery Park. And I thought to myself, you know, it wouldn't take a whole lot but 12 feet to overcome. And
well, the official word that I heard earlier today, and it's a hydrologic term, but they are expecting the storm surge to be 11.7 feet above mean low water at Battery Park. Now, you've got a better mental image of that than I do, but, yeah, let that run around your head for a minute.
Low water basically is just, I think, a normal level of water beneath Battery Park, and I don't know. It's just this is not a very good time in which, to tell you the truth, Bob, it's not a very good time in which to be alive the way things are going on. It really isn't. I mean, it's just an... I feel sorry for the younger generation and what they're going to have to face. Well,
if the models are correct, and that's the larger point, Jim. If the models are correct, and if we understand that climate change is a very real thing, then what we are setting our grandchildren and great grandchildren up to deal with. They will look back and they will curse our names.
I think you're right there. Absolutely. I mean, these are not normal things. I mean, the world has changed. I mean,
you know, there are a dozen nuclear power plants in the path of all of this crap.
But the only problem is when I address you in an email. As the power grid exists now, and the demand for consumption exists, and more customers plugging in, we can't drive it by wind and solar. They're going to have nuclear or some other type of power source.
I think that's just
my opinion. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but. They're going to have some type of other power source. And I don't think wind and solar are going to be the answers that can keep the grid established and meet the demand. I mean, if you can tell me some other way, I'd be more than happy to listen to you.
Well, I think we're learning that the demand can be met. It's not so much a matter of demand because, I mean, for God's sakes, there's enough wind potential in one little corner of North Dakota to power this country two or three times over. The problem is distributing it and getting it from point A to point New York City. And that's the problem that hasn't been solved yet.
I see. So it's not the manufacturer, it's the distribution.
Right. I mean, there's enough solar energy in a few square miles of Nevada, again, to power this country several times over. But you've got to get it from you've got to get it out of that square, that relatively small space, and onto a distributed network.
Well, that's a big problem.
And that's why the larger question is one of, and folks in the chat room, people like Grant who reads on this a lot, can tell you that, you know, that's why the power grid as it is presently envisioned is a distributed grid on a grand scale, on a macro scale. Where the real brilliant, you know, head-scratching thinking is going to come in is when we figure out, and for instance, the Germans, one of the reasons that I was a bit transformed by that trip in May, Jim, was because I saw a nation, and by dint of necessity, you know, because that's how Germans operate. They do what they got to do,
mm-hmm.
You know, when they're not in the middle of, you know, the unpleasantness. You know, they pretty much ran through their coal. They don't have any oil, but they do have wind, and the sun does shine there. And so, lo and behold, they subsidize the installation of solar panels. There are wind turbines all over the place.
Right.
And so they don't just have a great big grand grid. They've got micro distributed grids. Here we are sitting having a national conversation, Jim, in this country about how long is New York City or Philly or Boston or, you know, pick one, going to be without electricity, okay? Well, understand that, for instance, where we were out of power for over a week in late June and early July because of a freak storm.
Right.
On average, the Germans experience something like 27 minutes a year of power outages.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. And, of course, you know, you and I had a long talk earlier a couple of years ago about the infrastructure of this country, whether it's power grid, whether it's bridges, whether it's highways, whatever, and how every 2 years the American Society of Engineers, or whatever they're called, do a report card, and it was like D-.
Yeah. And you know, that doesn't happen by accident. And it needs to be remembered, you know, our power grid doesn't necessarily go down because of the force of the storm. Our power grid goes down because of the inefficiency and insufficiency of the power grid. You and I both pay a power bill to a for-profit electric company. That means that its monies have to be plowed back into shareholder the dividends instead of necessary infrastructure.
Absolutely. I mean, the money's going the wrong way. It's going into Wall Street and the investors, and it's not going into the improvement of the system, because, I mean, these are mechanical things, and they can only last so long. And if they're not, you know, maintained, if they're not properly cared for, then it only takes a snap of nature to render them totally and completely useless and ineffective, and they fail. They really do. It's a messed up situation. It really is. And
but so many of these problems have been brought about, Jim, specifically because there is an element in this country that has given up on the idea of government.
Well, they don't want government to have anything to do with their cash cows, that's for sure. They don't want to have any type of regulation. They get upset if the EPA imposes standards. They get upset if the FDA tries to impose standards about food and this, that, and the other. And these idiots simply hate anybody who's going to stand in between them and their cash cow. And that's it. And to have, you know, hooray for me or them, into hell with everybody else. I mean, they don't care if people go without light or without food or without power. and they get upset about food stamp programs because there are people who need food stamps. They get upset about every type of social program that's designed to try to inspire any type of humanity.
And yet, consider, like I said, I've had CNN running in the background, no audio, just video. Consider that in the last 2 minutes, the two ads that have run on CNN have been for ExxonMobil and Norfolk Southern Railway.
Wonder why.
And we wonder why we can't get any kind of meaningful coverage of climate change.
Well, you know, Bob, as far as the railways are concerned, I think we should have definitely invested in the railway system the way Europe did, because railways are a much more efficient means of transporting goods.
And let alone efficient, pleasant for transporting humans.
Oh, yeah, well, they don't care about that. I can remember when the train used to be fun when we used to, you know, leave Camden, South Carolina. It's like, 8 o'clock at night and be in New York about 10 o'clock the next morning. And you could have a roomette or whatever you want, and go to the club car and, you know, do whatever you want to do and then go to sleep. And you'd wake up in Grand Central.
You would not like the ride now.
No. And I can remember when they had linen tablecloths and flowers on each table, and they had excellent food and this, that, and the other. But they just completely neglected the railway system in order to use these big trucks that use all this fuel.
But it's not just that. Remember, the railway died at the hands of the airlines.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. People just had to get there so much quicker, so much faster, and, the airlines did kill the railway. And God only knows, those monsters certainly use enough fuel when they take off, that's for damn sure. Well, look, I've taken up enough of your time.
Well, it's been a lovely conversation, Jim, and you stay safe. No, it has been. You stay safe, and...
Well, you too. I hope your roof holds up and your family gets through this. I hope is this supposed to be over like Halloween or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I can only say this, man. What a trick or treat this has been, honestly and truly. My God in heaven. Oh, boy. It sure picked up.
Oh, and remember, New York got Irene this time last year. The northeastern seaboard got Irene this time last year. And again, this is the end of October. And this is a storm. Okay, consider, this time last year it was Irene. That's the letter I. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. That's 8 letters in last year. This is Sandy. This is a few letters from the end of the damned alphabet.
It's not very far, is it?
It tells you that there's been a lot more storms.
Well, it is a lot. It is pretty far. I really absolutely.
Sandra just sent me a photo of 34th and 1st in New York City. Underwater.
Oh God! This afternoon it was almost up at the MetLife Building on 57th. I don't know, buddy. I tell you. Anyway, I wish everybody well who's within the sound of my voice, and I've got one last thing to say, and I guess it's not really appropriate, but here it is.
Indeed. Agnes was supposed to have spent the weekend with the grandbabies Halloweening with them, and that
really?
All went sideways, yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, you've got other callers, so... if you don't mind, could you just, like, leave me on? Or
yeah, I'll put you on hold.
Okay.
All right, stand by, Jim.
Y'all have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
Our good buddy, Jim. And onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, Rob.
Hey, what's happening, Kevin?
Not much. Sorry to hear about all the trouble out there.
Oh, I ain't got the half of it yet.
You know, I was thinking about what you and Tracy were talking about earlier. You know, these religious nutcakes talking about this is all because of the gays and lesbians. And, 30, 40 years ago, it was because of pornography and things like that, and then
communists.
Before that, it was because of interracial marriage, and before that, and my point is it goes back to that old, I think Dietrich wrote it, but, you know, they came for this person and that person, and finally they came to me. And these religious people just seem to play into that. Come on, people. You know, really? If this is because of Tracy? You know? I mean, really? You're telling me that this big storm that's going to affect untold millions of people is because of the gays and lesbians? I find that hard to believe.
But they're a simple-minded lot.
Yes.
And it is far easier, and maybe this is a human failing, Kevin, but it is far easier to believe that some sort of divine justice is being meted out because your deity hates all the same things you do than it is
right.
to consider that we may have a because, you know, just as I've often said that fundamentalists reject evolution because it would compel them to find kinship with people of different skin tones.
Yep.
Well, if you admit something like global climate change, then if you read the science on it, you start finding out that things may be even worse than anyone has said, and it may be beyond the ability. In other words, it winds up being an intellectual challenge, or they perceive it as an intellectual challenge to their precious faith.
Yeah, but it seems to me to not be very much faith at all. If you have to blame something, what do you do when the tornado hits your house if you believe like that? What sin were you committing that God punished you by causing a tornado to hit your house? You know, that kind of thing. And it just...
But see, that plays into the element of substituted punishment. These fundamentalists believe in a God who does group punishment. That's why they can look. That's why they can just turn a blind eye to the plight of the Palestinians. And so, yeah, well, sure. It turns out that tornadoes tend to strike more in places filled with fundamentalist Christians than they do. Places full of... But you know what? God does that. God will wipe out an entire city if he's decided that he hates a particular gay bar.
Right.
That's
right.
How their mind operates. And it is brutal, it's hateful, and it's certainly not anything that I want to associate myself with.
No. But I've been in these churches, I've met people that are very smart, that believe this, and I just, what? You know, it doesn't compute when you meet a person with an IQ of, say, 150 who's believing this stuff. You know, it's almost some form of brainwashing that's going on. And you watch tomorrow. I'll make two predictions. One, Pat Robertson will get sanctimoniously on his program and talk about how it was God's punishment for this, that, or the other reason. And two, Mitt Romney will try to make political points out of this. Within maybe 3 hours of dawn, about 9 o'clock in the morning or so, I guarantee you Mitt Romney will come out and say something about how the president's response wasn't correct or something. There will be something he will do.
Oh, yeah.
And it's totally inappropriate time to do it, but he will do it. And I'm hoping it'll backfire on him, of course, but, you know, the election's the farthest thing. You know, you talking about them talking about delaying the election because of the swing states being affected.
No, well, that's the Republicans saying that, yeah.
Yeah, if you listen to...
And then Obama's going to declare martial law, and we're all going to get rounded up into FEMA camps.
Right, right. And if you listen to some of these coast-to-coast at night, you know, they talk about how the weather is being manipulated and how President Obama had our people direct that hurricane to go right over New York City so he could delay the election. And you just... You know, like Jim said, the world is just going upside down, you know. And that's another thing I wanted to mention. Tracy started to say something about how fearful she is over this election. And I've got to admit, that's where I am. I have never been afraid over an election before, from anything to county commissioner to president. I've never worried about the consequences of an election as much as I do with this election. And I just want to put that out there, because what do we do if we wake up on Wednesday morning and it's President Romney? You know, and I'm not so much afraid of Romney. That's fearful enough. But it's the reaction of these right-wing people that scares me the most. They will be emboldened to do even more damage than they're doing now. And they will be even more emboldened to do and say things that are racist and just, you know, that's what I'm scared of. It's not... I'm afraid of a Romney presidency, obviously, but it's not the presidency itself I'm afraid of. It's like Jim was saying, the people in the back hollers of Arkansas that have two or three teeth in their mouth, and they don't want that Kenyan Muslim elected, and now that President Romney has been elected, we can go back to blaming storms on gay people, you know. Without getting any pushback at all. That is my fear. And, you know, I don't know what else to say other than that. It just, you know, you look at someone like Tracy, you can tell by listening to her over the phone, she's a very nice person, she's someone I'd like to know personally, and her girlfriend, and... Why would God do something to Tracy? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And
but it doesn't make any sense to you, Kevin, because it's senseless.
Yes, that pretty well covers it. But how to get that? You know. How to get that out to people, that you're voting against your own best self-interest, your sort of magical thinking. You know, you've got this magical thinking complex that everything is because of God, as Mike Malloy likes to say. God, G-A-W-D.
That's God.
Yes, yeah. And...
And meanwhile, Pastor Hagee's somewhere out in Texas saying, starve!
Exactly. How? What? How did it get to this? I don't understand. This is not...
Well, the only answer to that, Kevin, is to just reiterate, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, it is by design. There have always been an element in this country of people who wanted to destroy anything resembling self-government, and they are in the ascendant. I mean, my God, we don't even begin to know what the outfall from what's going on right now is. Well, the water's up to poor Allie Velshi's waist now. That's in Atlantic City.
Allie, I think it's time for you to take cover, girl.
Boy, feller, guy. Yeah, Allie's a guy.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, Meanwhile, you know, Andy tells me 34th and 1st are underwater in New York City. Battery Park is underwater. And he says, my prediction, we're talking some big-time damage to the subway system in New York. It'll take them weeks to get back to normal operation. Now the officials in New York are reporting that seawater is rushing into the Battery Tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You know...
But it's no, there's no such thing as global warming. Just
right, and you know, remember, Willard Romney has said that the private sector could deal with this disaster better.
Right.
Just like the private sector could have done better with the auto bailout, except for the fact that there was no private sector money available.
Yep. Yep.
Now, when you know, when I'm off the air here, I'm going to turn the audio back on and listen for him to explain to us. What this is going to do to the precious holy markets.
Yep. Well, you know what? You don't even have to turn on the TV to know that. You're talking about the subway system. It will take years to repair the damage from this. They'll get back to some semblance of normal within a few weeks.
Well, at least we don't have George Bush out at somebody's birthday party playing an upside-down guitar.
Yeah, we got Mike Brown out here on the radio, though. He's on one of the local stations up in Denver, and we can always turn to him for advice.
Yeah, heck of a job. Hey, Kevin, have a great evening, my friend.
Hey, Bob, thank you very much. And just
hopefully we'll be back tomorrow.
Yep.
I'll tweet as we go. Take care.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.
Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. Email coming in from Kate. She says, enclosed is $60 to go toward tonight's goal. Is there any way you can separate the funds so you can buy extra fuel? If not, consider these funds to go toward domestic survival and comfort. That is more important to me than the unpaid bills. She says, my heart aches because our society is so jingoistic. We aren't the only ones who are being hammered by weather. Millions are threatened in India by Cyclone Fane. Maybe that's Tom. Many have died in the Caribbean from Sandy. I'm so glad I don't have a TV, Kate says. We queers have been busy. Remember, we took down the trade towers, too. Sending y'all fairy dust, she says. Kate. Thank you, Kate. And so I'm glad we were able to get this show under our belt. I hope we'll get another one under our belt tomorrow. We shall see, won't we? If you are in the middle of all this mess, and we have barely been touched so far, it's just a matter of snow so far, the worst may be yet to come for us. But if you're in the middle of all this mess right now, please do whatever is necessary to stay safe and know that you are in all of our thoughts. Ain't gonna pray for you, though. Mm-mm. Don't do that. Thank you, everybody who makes all of this happen. First of all, and foremostly, those of you who contribute kindly to keep all of this going. It is appreciated in more ways than you know. It's why we're still here, working on our eighth year. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to Agnes. Thank you to John Fox. And thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. 10 years now, there's been progressive liberal radio available on the Internet in large part because of the often unheralded efforts of Ben Birch. Thanks go out to the bravest, hardest-working people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and ACHEACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, always, always. Gina, Judy, it's all for you.